Hello, everyone. This is the CircuitPython weekly meeting for July 28th, 2025. It's the time of the week when we get together to talk about all things about CircuitPython. I'm Dan, and I'm sponsored by Adafruit to work on CircuitPython. CircuitPython is a version of Python designed to run on tiny computers called microcontrollers. CircuitPython development is primarily sponsored by Adafruit, so if you want to support Adafruit and CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from adafruit.com. This meeting is hosted on the Adafruit Discord server. You can join anytime by going to adafru.it/discord. We hold the meeting in the CircuitPython dev text channel and the CircuitPython voice channel. This meeting typically happens on Mondays at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time, except when it coincides with the U.S. holiday. In the notes doc, which I'll talk about in a minute, there's a link to a calendar you can view online or add to your favorite calendar app. We also send notifications about upcoming meetings via Discord. If you'd like to receive these notifications, ask us to add you to the @CircuitPythonistas Discord role on the Adafruit server. And I'll note that in July and August this year, we're doing every other week. So the next meeting after today will be in 2 weeks, and we'll mention that again at the end. So I mentioned there's a notes document. It's shared, and it accompanies the meeting and recording. You can contribute to this document beforehand. The final notes document includes timestamps to go along with the recorded video, so you can use the document to skip around and view the parts of the video that interest you most. The meeting tends to run 30 to 60 minutes. After each meeting, we post a link for the next meeting's notes document to the CircuitPython dev channel on the Adafruit Discord. Check the pinned messages in that channel to find the latest notes doc so you can add your notes for the following meeting. If you wish to participate but cannot attend, you can leave hug reports and status updates in the document for us to read during the meeting. This meeting is held in 5 parts. I'll go over each part as we get to them. Okay, so let me now start taking timestamps in here in the notes doc. And I will start with community news. Okay. The news here comes from the last 2 weeks of the weekly Python and microcontrollers newsletter, which goes out on email on Monday mornings. You can visit adafruitdaily.com to subscribe to the newsletter. Thanks to Anne for putting the newsletter together. If you have any Python or hardware projects to share or find content you'd like to see included, please consider contributing to the newsletter. You can email cpnews@adafruit.com with a link, #CircuitPython or @Ann_engineer on Blue Sky, Mastodon, or X, or open a PR on GitHub in the CircuitPython weekly newsletter repo. And there's a link to that in the notes document. Okay, so this week's news, remember this is 2 weeks worth of news, so some of this may be old news to you. We'll start with the week before, CircuitPython 10.00 Beta 0 was released. It's the first release for CircuitPython. It's the first beta release for CircuitPython 10. We had a bunch of alpha releases. The beta has known bugs that will be fixed before the final release. This release also marks the introduction of new artwork for CircuitPython 10. And the next time I post a beta release thing in the blog, it will get use the new artwork. How about we post the artwork here anyway? I cannot paste the image. Oh well, never mind. Let's move on. The next item is that CircuitPython Day. So, oh, thank you, Anne. Okay, Anne has posted the artwork. So once a year we have CircuitPython Day, usually in August or September, and this year it's August 15th. In mid-August each year, I'll read what it's saying here. In mid-August each year, Adafruit holds CircuitPython Day. During the day, there are broadcasts, there's likely a discount code, and the staff highlight community work on CircuitPython project. This year, as I mentioned, it's Friday, August 15th. Please mark your calendars and keep an eye on the Adafruit blog for additional information. And let us know how you might be celebrating CircuitPython Day by tagging social media with CircuitPython Day 2025. And I'll just mention that in the past, some groups that use CircuitPython have used that day or days around that day to have a project or a class or a seminar or a get-together, and they often post about it. And we will highlight that as we know about it. So if you're going to do that, let us know. Thank you. All right. Next up, there's a note from two newsletters ago about using DVI video in CircuitPython. With the release of the Raspberry Pi RP2350, the ability to use a microcontroller to display DVI video on HDMI monitors has grown. Your editor, that's Anne, has written a guide to this video capability and how to use it in scenarios from emulated games to full-on graphics. If you are looking to use the HSTX bus on the RP2350 to output video, check out this guide on how all the parts work. And there's a link in the notes to that guide. All right. And then finally, I have a note item about an online CircuitPython IDE. River Wang has released the independently developed CircuitPython Online IDE version 2.1, which runs in a modern web browser. And there's a link at circuitpy.dev, and highlights of this release include serial console rewritten with Xterm, a progressive web app, and performance improvements and bug fixes. All right. So, as I mentioned, there are newsletter. If you these items come from the Python on Microcontrollers newsletter. Please let us know about things that would be of interest that we can put in the newsletter. Email cpnews@adafruit.com, as I mentioned, or tag us on social media. Okay, the next major section for our newsletter, our meeting, is the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka. This section is a quantitative overview of the entire project. The section gives us a chance to look at the health of the project separate from our status updates. We'll talk about the project overall and then separately discuss the core, the libraries, and Blinka. So, overall, in the past 2 weeks, and I did some by hand addition of the number of pull requests and stuff like that here, which may not be quite right, but just to give you an idea of what's happened in the past 2 weeks. Overall, in the past 2 weeks, there were 33 pull requests merged by 17 authors. Some new authors I haven't seen are Nertha, Our PXI, Wandering Star, Lidwanjan, and I think maybe Musco M. And there were 7 reviewers. There were 22 closed issues and 14 issues opened. Now we'll look at the core, which is about the CircuitPython core itself. That's the CircuitPython interpreter. In the past 2 weeks, there were 18 pull requests merged by 12 authors, and there were 3 reviewers, and there are now 21 open pull requests. A few are really old, and a bunch are draft because we're waiting for something or other, but there's a lot of other stuff, interesting stuff there. There were 16 closed issues and 14 opened issues. And I don't have the people count because I have to do a set merge, and it was too much work to do that manually. There are 787 open issues. There are 9 active milestones. The most prominent milestone right now is the 10.0 milestone. Those are things that we want to fix for the 10.0 final release. And this milestone, we moved a bunch of issues from 10.00 to 10XX because they're not as urgent. And so we now have only 8 open issues for 10.00. So I'll talk about that a little more in status updates. We have 63 open issues for 10XX, some for 11.00. There are 7 issues there. Those are things that we would delay until 11 because they're not upward compatible or they await something in 11, etc. There are 16 open issues that have to do with libraries, 644 long-term issues, 28 issues that are support, and 17 issues that depend on some third-party thing. And right now there are no issues not assigned a milestone, or at least as of this listing. I think there are some now. So our next section is about CircuitPython libraries, and Tim will tell us about the libraries.
Thanks, Dan. This section does cover all of the CircuitPython libraries. Those are split into 2 main groups or bundles. We have the Adafruit library bundle, which has 368 libraries in it, and the community library bundle, which has 165 in that one, for a total right now of 533 libraries that support CircuitPython. On the Adafruit libraries, these are all found on GitHub under names like Adafruit _ CircuitPython _, and then the name of whatever library it is. Across all of those libraries for the last couple of weeks, we had 12 pull requests merged by 2 different authors. I believe Dan mentioned, but thanks again to Wandering Star, which is the name here that is newer or unrecognized by me at least. Thanks to them for making their first or perhaps just an infrequent contribution this week, or the last couple of weeks, I should say. We had 4 reviewers, thanks to Dan, Ann, Liz, and myself for reviews this week. We had, 12 pull requests merged. Of those, they were all looks like all one day old only. So keeping on top of new pull requests the last couple of weeks, a bunch of these were over in Fruit Jam and Portal Base, where I have been doing some work as well. In terms of pull requests that remain open, there are 46 now, as of the time that these stats are run, 46 open pull requests across the Adafruit libraries. The oldest one of those is getting up there over 1,000 days. I believe that one is a draft that is open somewhere. The newest one is listed here at 24 days. In terms of issues, we had 3 issues closed and 3 new issues opened up. That leaves us with 727 issues that are open across all those Adafruit libraries right now. And there are 3 of them that are labeled Good First Issue, which you can find over on circuitpython.org/contributing, which is the website where you should head if you do want to get involved with the CircuitPython project. When you first load that page, you'll find a list of open pull requests. These are links over to GitHub, where people have proposed changes to CircuitPython libraries, and they are in need of another person to come along and review those changes. So if that sounds interesting to you, again, circuitpython.org/contributing is where you can go to get started with this. You would find something in that list, click on over to GitHub, take a look at the code that's there. If you have the hardware that the library is for, then that is great as well. You can try out the examples. The basic examples are in inside of every repo, so you can test out the examples with the changes from the PR. Leave a comment there on GitHub letting us know what you found when you looked it over. You can also review the code for spelling and syntax, logic, and things like that. If you do have the hardware as well, let us know in your comment how it went when you tried it out. If you get comfortable with that process and would like to get leveled up to leave official reviews over on GitHub, we can work with you to make that happen. You can also, if you'd like to start getting your hands dirty writing some of your own code, you can also click on over to the issues tab at circuitpython.org/contributing. This is a similar list of links over to GitHub, but these ones represent issues. There is no proposed change yet for any of these, so these are waiting for a person to come along who would be interested in working on that change, whatever it is. Oftentimes this is fixing a bug or adding a new example or some enhancement or something like that. So if you want to get involved on that front, you can look through the list again, find something that's interesting to you or that you've got the hardware for, click through to GitHub, read about the issue, figure out what it's for, and then you can submit your own pull request with a resolution to that. We do have guides for contributing to CircuitPython using Git and GitHub. We also have folks who are around throughout the week who are more than happy to help you get spun up. So if you are trying to contribute, whether that's reviewing or submitting your own pull request, and you're having trouble with any part of the process, please come say hi on Discord, and there will be folks there who are more than happy to help you out. In terms of library updates in the last 14 days, a couple of them listed here are the new library Dang, which is a curses subset for making ASCII GUI programs, and then Portal Base and Fruit Jam, like I mentioned before, the HT16K33, and then over in the community bundle, the AS7343 driver. So if you are interested in any of those, you can check them out. And that is it for libraries this week. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Tim. All right. Our next section is about Blinka. Blinka is our compatibility layer.
Maybe muted if you're speaking, Dan.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I had some excess noise in the background here. Our next section is about Blinka. Blinka is our compatibility layer for CircuitPython on single board computers like Raspberry Pi. So you can run code that's written in CircuitPython using CircuitPython features, but it actually runs under regular Python, also known as CPython. And that's because it's written in C. C has nothing to do with CircuitPython in that case. All right. So in the past 2 weeks, there were 3 pull requests merged by 2 authors and 4 reviewers. For Blinka, there are now 11 open pull requests. There were 3 issues closed and 3 open, and there were 155 open issues. And right now, Blinka supports 162 boards, which is great. Okay, next up is the Hug Reports section. Hug Reports is a chance to highlight folks in the CircuitPython community and beyond for doing awesome things. I'll start and we'll go down the list of Hug Reports alphabetically. If you are text only or missing the meeting, I'll just read your notes when I get to them in the list. All right. So, I'll say thanks to TAC, who for debugging Nina FW, which had a major revision. So Nina FW is the firmware that runs on Airlift coprocessors. And that's to do Wi-Fi and sometimes BLE. So, for instance, the Pi Portal has an ESP32 that's an Airlift. There are some separate Airlift boards, like Airlift Featherwing, and there are other boards that also have these Airlift processors. So we updated that Nina FW extensively, partly to make it run on the ESP32C6, because we're going to be using that chip as opposed to the ESP32 for a bunch of newer Airlift projects and products. So thanks to TAC for debugging that, and also Fomby Guy for thorough testing of the debugging that TAC did. And thanks to Scott, I did a triage meeting with him about 10.0.0 issues, and I'll talk about that in status updates. All right, next up is Tim.
All right, thank you. I have Hug Reports this week, thanks to, I think this is a GitHub username, if I recall right, Dunkman00, who added the stubs for the MicroPython module. We had docs for those previously, but they did not exist in the stubs, so your IDE would kind of complain anywhere that you would use, like, MicroPython const, for instance. So this person raised the question about how to add those, and we came up with an idea on how to do that, and then they worked through some of the issues that arose from how it was done. So I appreciate them not only improving the stubs, but also sticking with us and working through some of those problems. Thanks also to Liz for figuring out and fixing an issue that came up with HSTX DVI cowbell on the Pico 2 and 2W and assessing that. I think that was from a couple of weeks ago. And then also thanks to Tyeth for reminding me about the no reset flag, which I needed to use when I was trying to test with something on ESP Tool over the weekend on my stream. That's what I've got. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. All right. Next up is EJG Morrington, who's missing the meeting. Thanks to James Fowler, Dan H., Narodoc, Foamy Guy, Deshipu, and Elpakenen for helping me with my project. And next is Liz, who's here.
Hello. So Hug a Portfolio Guy for explaining the workload for new product guides. No set for, but it really does help me out, so I appreciate it. And a group hug.
All right. Thank you, Liz. Okay. Next up is Scott Tanute, who's out. He's doing, I have a young child, and so he's working limited hours. So he's using his hours sparingly. So thanks to Liz for driving CircuitPython Day planning, August 15th. Ask us questions here, and there's a link to a shared Google Doc for this purpose in the notes, where you could make suggestions. And now that's it for Hug Reports. Next up is status updates. Status updates is our time to tell folks what we're up to individually. I'll start and we'll go through the list of updates alphabetically as before. When I call on you, you can take a couple of minutes to talk about what you've been doing since the last meeting and what you'll be doing until the next meeting. If a discussion becomes too long for status updates, we could move it to the In the Weeds section. So I'll start. Within the past 2 weeks, as I mentioned, I released CircuitPython 10.0 Beta 0. Significantly, this finishes converting to the larger firmware partition scheme on all 4 MB Espressif boards. So if you're going to use CircuitPython 10 Beta 0, you need to update your TinyUF2 bootloader on those boards. And that's already covered in the guides for those boards, though we have an even easier way to do it, which I'll be documenting soon. Also, in the past 2 weeks, I've helped test and debug the latest NINA firmware, NINA-FW firmware, as I mentioned, with Foamy Guy and Tech. All boards that now can do SSL, whether Wi-Fi or over Ethernet, can now use the full Mozilla root certificate list. We used to have this pruned list of root certificates, so sometimes there were some sites that used an obscure root certificate for doing HTTPS, and you couldn't connect to them, and you'd have to mention that certificate specially in a separate call. But now we're using the full list that is the same list that's used in the Firefox browser, and it's used by curl and a whole bunch of other utilities. So you should basically have no trouble connecting to any site that uses the accepted public set of root certificates. And as I mentioned, we're updating NINA-FW on airlifts. And in NINA-FW 3.10, which just came out a few hours ago, you can now also use the complete list of Mozilla root certificates is also included in that build. So you should have much less trouble about this kind of thing. And then finally, I'll just say that I've been fixing several issues for 10.0, and I'm working on more. Scott and I triage the 10.0 issue list from about 25 issues down to about 8 issues, and we pushed non-critical issues that we don't really need to work on for 10.0 to a later build. We still intend to fix them, but there's no reason to hold up 10.0 final. We'd rather have it in the hands of people and start using it, because we know that there'll be other problems. And it's also very useful for people to use it on a regular basis, for instance, for the root certificates list and upcoming products, things like that. All right, and we've got next up, Tim can tell us about what he's been doing.
All right, thanks, Dan. I finished up the HSTX DVI Cowbell guide last week, and that is published now. I have been doing a fair amount of testing on the NINA firmware stuff, like Dan has mentioned. I started trying out old MagTag hardware, so the original MagTag. I have got one of those from a couple of years ago. I've been testing that out with projects using the latest CircuitPython build. The latest CircuitPython build has added support for the new hardware for the 2025 release of the MagTag that just came out. It's got a slightly different screen, so it's got some different stuff in it. I've been making sure that there's no issues with the old hardware using that new firmware version. I also started updating learn guide code. This kind of grew out of MagTag project testing. There were some MagTag projects, and it turns out some others as well, that use code that was deprecated inside of PortalBase. So I have a branch where I have fixed all of those, and I am in the process today of testing out a couple of projects for other devices. So PyPortal and some Funhouse projects got updated during that process as well. I'm in the process of making sure those are all good, but then I'll submit a PR to the Learn repo with all of those changes. Along the same line, I have been doing a bunch of work in the PortalBase library and the FruitJam library, so while testing these projects and working on that stuff, I have submitted a couple other fixes to the PortalBase library, and then I have also brought in functionality for PortalBase over to the FruitJam library. So we started FruitJam library with just sort of hardware accessors, but it now has the full PortalBase sort of treatment where you can use fetch and create basic projects that sort of reuse a bunch of the code from the PyPortal and other similar device projects from those devices, I should say. And then on my own time over the weekend, I started digging in a bit recently to try to understand the PIO peripheral a bit more. I kind of have a vague idea that it's there and it can flip pins really fast and that it's cool, but I didn't know really that much more about what was going on under the hood, so I've been kind of peeling it back a bit to understand that. I was able to successfully output to 8 LEDs and then separately output to a 14x2 segment, which has, I think, 17 or 18 pins, so it's quite a few, and it was really cool to get it working and actually have the correct bits turn on and off the correct segments. I don't have good mappings to like an actual alphabet or anything to display, but I was really excited to get it as far as I did and to gain the understanding of it that I have so far. So that's what I have been up to. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Tim. And next up, we've got Liz.
Hello. So I added the quad color e-ink display that was just added to the shop to the CircuitPython EPD library. And this library is used with Blinka on the Raspberry Pi mainly, whereas if you're using a microcontroller, you do the DisplayIO stuff, which Scott's working on. So once that DisplayIO stuff's in, then you'll see a guide come shortly for Arduino, Raspberry Pi, and CircuitPython. And then I'm also working on planning CircuitPython Day 2025. It is on Friday, August 15th this year. There will be a few sessions, both live and pre-recorded, and one of them is a discussion Q&A with Scott and Dan. And there is a Google form, which Scott mentioned in his Hug Report, where you can submit questions for the Q&A portion, and I will put that link in the live chat right now. And then for projects, I'm working on a magnetic rotary encoder with the AS5600 breakout, and I was able to design and 3D print a print-in-place bearing for the build that I'm pretty excited about. I looked at some images that folks had done of other print-in-place bearings and was able to design one, so that was a pretty big 3D printing accomplishment for me, and that's basically what I've been working on.
All right, thank you, Liz. Okay. And finally, I'll read Scott's. Working part-time, focusing on supporting new e-paper displays, adding quad-color support to CircuitPython for those displays, and then the most other of the other support for the displays is in libraries, library only. We'll do 10.x fixes too, he says. Okay. And finally, we've got an in-the-weeds topic today from EJG Murrington, who's not here right now, but we'll read it anyway as food for thought. So they say, I've been recently started working on a project I'd like to eventually make public. So in order to have a clean repo, I used Adafruit CircuitPython cookie cutter template meant for library repositories. I was wondering what approaches other folks have to maintain repositories for their projects. A different cookie cutter template, some custom workflows. I'm using the ones generated by the template. James Fowler gave me some tips on how to structure my code on a very interesting thread on Discord, and there's a link to that thread in the notes. Maybe some of the ideas could be used to make some reusable repos or cookie cutter templates. And finally, I've read about a learning guide that talks about a project bundler used to generate project bundles for learning system guides. since that code isn't public, maybe a workflow that works in a similar way could be developed. So this is all very interesting. We have a cookie cutter template. It's for libraries. It's not for standalone projects that have a code.py. There are code.pys in the examples in the libraries, but there isn't sort of a cookie cutter or a general project template for this.
I found one just now, which I put in the chat, and I actually just noticed it links to your
GitHub. I don't remember doing this at all. I think it's forked from somewhere.
It could be. It doesn't show a fork. I was going to say, though, I basically just searched this up because I was trying to rack my brain. I was going to say, essentially, as a reply to this in the weeds topic, I was pretty sure someone had worked on something like this where there was a workflow basically made more for projects than for libraries, and it would pull stuff in for you, and then I think the one I'm remembering, I don't know if that's this one or not, I think it would upload the bundle to like the release artifacts, kind of the same way we do MPYs and some other things like that. So I don't know for sure if that's this one, and if it is not this one, I also unfortunately don't know where to find it. I just kind of recall people talking about it in the Discord, so not a direct answer necessarily, but the best that I have on this particular topic.
So I'm looking at this. I don't remember writing any of this code. I don't think I did.
It could be Sam. It could be Sam.
It could be Sam Blenny. It's maybe I just.
I do see a couple of references to.
I don't know why. Maybe it got assigned to me. Maybe it was transferred to me. So.
Yeah, totally. I think that's what happened, actually, because I just tried to go to Sam Blenny's fork. Like, I changed dHalbert to Sam Blenny in the URL, and it redirects to you. So I think it probably was started by Sam, and then,
Right, and I was eventually going to take it over, but I don't remember anything about this. It fell off the radar.
So that's probably, I'll leave a link here in the docs as well. I don't know if EJ G. Morrington will see.
Yeah, if you'd write a couple of notes in the doc, that would be great so that people can follow up. Yeah, I did not write this despite taking it over. I think it was just we didn't want to put it under Adafruit yet.
But yeah, I think I'll finish writing that out. But I think that's the best answer we have, which is that it sounds like maybe some community members have put a little bit of time into it, but it was a while ago. We have no idea if it's currently working or how far it's been taken or anything like that. But there was at least a start that was done on it.
Okay, terrific. Thank you for finding that. All right. So that's it for our meeting today. Remember, the next meeting will be in 2 weeks. So that is not August 4th, but it's August 11th. Okay? Next meeting is Monday, August 11th, 25. Is in 2 weeks. Okay, thank you everybody for attending, and thanks everybody who is watching our recording. And we'll say bye-bye. Stopping recording.